This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just gone past 9:35 a.m. this Friday morning on The Property Show with me, Azura Rahman. Since it's the last Friday of the month and also, incidentally, the last day of the year of the monkey, it's now time for our monthly property clinic with Chris Tan from Chur Associates. We have a query from a listener called Farah and it goes like this. Hello Azura, my husband and I are currently renting a double-storey link house in PJ with lots of room for our possessions and pets. We have a good relationship with our landlord and really like where we are staying. However, we have been hit with some financial trouble and we are finding it difficult to make ends meet. I'm hoping that this is a temporary difficulty. In the meantime, my husband thinks it may be a good idea to let out our spare room until things get better. We've already sounded it out on social media, but someone alerted me that this may be an issue with our landlord. Please advise. This is what Chris had to say.
I think the first and foremost, you have to look at your tenancy agreement. Like I said in the previous episode and all this property clinic all along, when you have a tenancy issue, first thing you refer to is your tenancy agreement. Because at the end of the day, Malaysia do not have a recognised Landlord and Tenant Act. So I think first and foremost, look at your tenancy agreement. It is advisable for those of you who are renting any property for that matter to always read your tenancy agreement, because it is quite common to be in a standard, so-called standard. Actually, there's nothing standard. But when you say standard, which means that everyone try to adopt and get a precedent of the net or from the agent or whatnot without a proper lawyer and all this thing, normally you would get an agreement that does not allow you to sublet.
So this situation is called subletting.
Yes.
Basically.
So basically, he's thinking that, you know, it's too big for my capacity. Can I then become a main tenant, and then I sublet to a lot of sub tenant in that sense? It depends. Like if you're talking about, for example, student housing. Right, it's quite common that the main tenant actually let it out for fellows, friends and students as well. So they would make sure that, you know, in the agreement they are allowed to subtenant, and the landlord would know, because it is actually quite acceptable in that sense, because also how they fetch higher rent as a result of that. Because at the end of the day, when you sublet, then it's again, the value proposition is different. Now, in this case, I would think that the agreement that Farah and the husband entered into for this double-storey house, all this while have no such clause for sublet. Okay. Right, but of course, stand to be corrected. Look at your agreement again, because I would think that, you know, the expectation of the landlord with renting out to a family is that it shouldn't be sublet out.
Right.
In that sense, there's different to say that if you sublet out for commercial purpose, or you're just getting more bigger family, bigger, or you're getting your parents to come and stay with you in the extra capacity, is different thing. All right, so in this case, obviously,
you're making money.
Yeah, you're making money. So when you're making money, then you have to look at your agreement. Now, whether it is addressed in the agreement. Now, if it is expressly provided that you can sublet, all right, then obviously you can sublet, right? If it is expressly prohibited in the agreement, then obviously then you have to speak to your landlord and see whether they can give you further consent to alter that clause. Like I said, the tenancy agreement is entered between the landlord and tenant. So if any changes need to be done, it has to be agreed by both the landlord and tenant.
Okay, why is it the case that typically for most tenancy agreements, they would not allow subletting? Is it because it complicates the issue, as in like whose agreement with, you know, what kind of rules would then fall in place? Talk us through that.
I think the thinking behind that is very simple. If I let out my place to you for the tenant, it's for the quiet enjoyment of the tenant. And of course, it's easy when one person is responsible. Then we have, if you allow sublet situation, it means that it's sometimes even beyond the control of the main tenant in that sense. So again, more people, more complication, more user, therefore more problem. That's the thinking behind it. So the prevention for subletting is because, you know, if you intend to sublet, you might as well state it beforehand. Therefore, the agreement should reflect it before, right? Perhaps because there is also issue, for example, deposit. Utility deposits, water, electricity and all that. If it's a family of two or family of four, you know, as compared to a three family of two or three family of four in one building, I'm sure the consumption will be different. So there will be different consideration, right? So multiple user, would have multiple user problems in that sense. So again, the wear and tear would be faster as compared to just 2%, as compared to 4, as compared to 6, you know. So that's the thinking behind it. And there's no way to say that, you know, you cannot sublet, because it's actually willing buyer, willing seller. What does it mean is that if the landlord agreed, then so be it.
Right.
Correct.
Now, going from your example about, you know, where it's in a case where, you know, there are properties that are let out as student accommodations and there are possibilities of subletting in those scenarios, is there a legal limit as to how many heads, how many people can actually stay within one dwelling, whether it's an apartment, whether it's landed property? Do we have any regulations with regards to that?
Supposingly we do. There is also planning to talk about density of the place and whatnot, but it's about enforcement, right? But I think more importantly, it's also got to do with safety. So a lot of time when you have those student housing, they make it into smaller capsule size kind of sleeping.
10 people in
yeah, correct,
flat.
Correct, things like that. Then it's a question of safety, hygiene, and a lot of more other issues as well. So then again, when these things happen, the landlord cannot run away from those liability. So as much as you want to make money out of it, then again, whether it is at what expense, you know, whether there is some regulation to that. So even at this case, Farah, I mean, if my advice to you is that it depends also. I mean, let's say if you get your consent from your landlord, to allow you to sublease. So the next question is that there's also various type of tenancy that we can talk about, a short term, a long term, even by daily, by weekly, by monthly, you never know. So is it a permanent, for example, let's get two more guys to occupy the next two room, you know, and they will pay monthly rental like you, then it's one thing. If you want to do on Airbnb and do, hey, come and stay in my house and I'll be your host, you know, and every is going on a daily basis kind of thing, then it's a different set of requirements. So I'm highlighting that, first of all, talk to your landlord. By the way, I think a good relationship, I mean, I like the fact that he did mention about good relationship with landlord. I think it's very good to communicate.
Right.
With the landlord, because I think a reasonable landlord would understand the situation that is not desirable. Because another way to save everyone from the trouble is this. It could be telling the landlord, instead of renting the whole house, I rent a room.
Right.
You know, as a result of that, therefore, my renter would be reduced. And therefore, as a result of that, then let the landlord deal with the new tenant.
Right. Okay, so we'll talk a bit more about the possible permutations should the landlord actually consent to Farah subletting this property to someone that she knows or she doesn't know, depending on the advertisements, I suppose. But we'll talk a bit more about that on The Property Show with Chris Tan from Chir Associates on BFM 89.9. It's Azura Rahman on The Property Show with Chris Tan from Chir Associates, and we're going over our monthly legal property clinic. And this query came from Farah for this month. And she said, my husband and I are currently renting a double-story link house in PJ with lots of room for our possessions and pets. We have a good relationship with our landlord and really like where we are staying. However, we have been hit with some financial trouble and we're finding it difficult to make ends meet. I'm hoping that this is a temporary difficulty. And in the meantime, my husband thinks it may be a good idea to let our spare room until things get better. We've already sounded it out on social media, but someone alerted me that this may be an issue with our landlord. Please advise. Now, I guess it was very clear cut in the beginning when we say that we have to look back at the tenancy agreement and see if there's a clause allowing for subletting, which is this is what this situation calls for.
Sure.
And if there isn't one, and that's which is most likely the case in most tenancy agreements, have a word with the landlord. Now, I think there's, like you mentioned earlier on, there's a lot of different permutations where this can then take place as to how Farah can still make the rent on a monthly basis.
Sure.
But what kind of permutations will there be? And I guess the most straightforward one is to get a lodger to stay in the spare room of the house. But in that case, Chris, let's say if the landlord does consent to that, what are the legalities of it? What's the technicalities of it in terms of the agreement for this new subletting?
So it depends whether the subletting, whether the landlord is consenting to the subletting or reduce the premises where Farah is renting. So I just thought that, you know, Farah shouldn't think that, you know, it's always better to sublet. Because when you sublet, you have to manage your tenant now. You become a landlord again. So you have to manage the other two. So there's another permutation there. And although with the landlord consent, ultimately it's still Farah and the husband who is the tenant of the premises to be responsible. So I think it depends whether they want that part or not. Because another way to, like I said in the section before, to say that you can actually tell the landlord to say, hey, instead of the whole house, I want a room now, or big room, or two room, or three room, whatever that is, and the balance will hand it back to the landlord, and landlord is free to get a new tenant for that room. And in that sense, then they don't have to deal with the tenant, all right, and it's for the landlord to take the risk in that sense. So it's just a question of whether they want to take the risk on their own, or they want to pass back the risk to the landlord in that sense. I have a word for the landlord, though, at this juncture, is because I think always appreciate a tenant who come to tell you about their financial difficulties and whatnot, whether, I mean, real or not is for you to assess, but I think that the moment they say that, at least you should give appropriate attention, because there's two types of landlord. One landlord is that, I don't care, there's an agreement, you pay me how much, I don't care, you don't pay, I sue you, right? And the other one that just said, probably will listen, which is more reasonable. So I would encourage the landlord here to be a little bit more reasonable, because first of all, it's a tenant market out there, number one. Number two is that, I mean, from the wording that I hear from Farah, is that she loved the house, which means that she could be taking care of the house better than anyone else.
And at the same time, she has presented a solution of some sorts, as opposed to just saying reduce my rent.
Correct. So I think in that manner, work out a solution with Farah. Could be temporary, could be long term and whatnot. Still, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that your tenant love your property too, right? And that could be a solution. When the other thing would be, like, you know, a different installment plan for the outstanding when the time is better. You know, when Farah and husband get the bonus and whatnot, they can pay a little bit more. You know. So all this thing is a relationship between landlord and tenant, where it is beyond the wording of the tenancy agreement, because at the end of the day, it's about communication. At the end of the day, you have to treat your tenant as your business partner. I always said, because the tenant will be in this part of that. If it is still subject to a loan, they will help with the installment. They'll make sure that the yield is continued, you know, that kind of thing. I said, I mean, no one like troubles, no one like issue. So
getting to such
correct. So
right?
so the other thing is that, you know, Farah might be, like I said, doesn't, again, no tenant like to move. No landlord like to take a new tenant also, because if they can use the old one. So I'm just highlighting that, you know, find out a solution, because if you mentioned to be temporary, then I think it could be solved out by just, you know, with central, a logical discussion in that sense. So like I said, you know, again, there's many ways to rent out this place. Going back to Farah is, again, whether she want to take the responsibility as a main tenant, you know, because that could be a risk there. And even you want to do Airbnb and whatnot, compliant is a risk. And managing the new tenant is also a risk. And whether they have time to do that. And they mentioned they do have pets as well. So that could be a concern as well for the new tenant, blah, you know, and all that. So I'm not sure all this, how this thing get played out. But I thought a good way to start is for Farah to talk to the landlord.
Now, it seems Farah here is a very conscientious tenant, in the sense that, you know, she wants to speak to her landlord, especially as she's been reminded by a friend. But there are some tenants out there who probably think, you know what, I can just get my cousin to stay here with me for 6 months or so. She's going to university in Kuala Lumpur, for example, and she'll pay me, you know, 500 ringgit a month or whatever. Okay, in that case, I mean, do you have a duty to tell the landlord in that sense?
Let's put this way, you're entitled to invite anyone to come and stay in your house, all right? And that person could actually voluntarily pay you some subsidies and whatnot in that case, and you never even recorded it per se, which means that they can decide to move out tomorrow, or they can stay on for another day. So what I'm highlighting to you is that if it's nothing contractual and whatnot, so I would think that it's just an invitee situation. Because today it could be cousin, tomorrow it could be mother-in-law. I never know, right? But I thought, as far as this is concerned, not a big deal. In those things, you don't need to have the consent. But unless you are bringing the whole village and it's over capacity and those kind of issue, then yes, they will bring forth other type of thing. But I think permitted invitee, in that sense, I think cousin is not too far-fetched, you know, and still, if there's nothing entered into contractually, so I would think that there's no need to tell the consent of the landlord. And then, yeah.
So let's take it one step further, though, Chris, just for people to get, you know, a better idea of subletting.
Sure.
In the case where the landlord has said, okay, Farah, you know, take over if you want to sublet the house, well, the room to one more person. Now, Farah now, as someone who's subletting, I guess she needs to bear in mind some of the things when it comes to having a lodger in the house, as to what's the common areas, you know, where there'll be awkwardness or not in terms of, you know, it's having like having a roommate, really, isn't it, Chris? What are the things that, some of the things that you should bear in mind, I suppose, if you are subletting the property to someone else who is a perfect stranger to you?
Like I said, again, everyone is taking a risk. Even if a landlord renting out a property to a tenant, most of the time it's a stranger anyway. Again, it's a risk that you have to manage, number one, character-wise and all. But as far as legal is concerned, again, you would have a sub-tenancy agreement. And a sub-tenancy agreement, there's no standard. Again, there's no standard clauses for you to put in whatever you want to do. You can even lay down house rule if you want to.
In the actual agreement?
Of course, in the sense that no party until 12, whatever that is.
What's common property,
correct,
what's not.
Correct, and then you should infringe here, infringe there, and then all these things. I mean, if you can think about it, write it down. And make sure that both parties understand what they sign in a sub-tenancy agreement, then that's it. Because at the end of the day, it's about, like I said, you're now playing landlord now, so exactly what are you renting out? You know, who's entitled to the car park? You know, are they entitled to park their car inside or outside? You know, how many car can they park? You know, things, small things like that, even like even fridge. Do they need to have their own fridge? Can they share your fridge? You know, are you producing the use? Like, for example, can they watch your TV? You know, can they actually switch on the aircon while you're not around?
There's a lot of considerations in the living room.
And that kind of thing. So again, it's a lot of give and take. But again, it's nothing different from a landlord-tenant situation, because once I hand over the key to you, it's all yours. I can't be, you know, putting on my CCTV and watch every move of yours and see whether you do something against my wish. Right. So again, it's a goodwill thing. It's very hard. That's why I said tenant and landlord situation is really, really something that is not easy to regulate. All right, notwithstanding whatever you put in the agreement. Like I said, if it's a small thing, really, for every small breach, do you want to go to court?
Even more so when you're living with your landlord.
Correct, correct. So I'm just saying to you is that, oh yeah, he didn't switch off the aircon last night, which is against our wishes. Then my question is that, are you going to hire me and then sue them just for not switching off the aircon? You know, so those are things like that. I think good news for Farah is that she at least can think from the anger of the tenant, because she will probably know what is required, right? And then the good news also, since you have a good relationship with the landlord, then ask the landlord also what are his experience, you know, because it's more like managing another tenant under your care.
Okay, and that's Chris Tan from Chair Associates with his take on Farah's predicament for our property legal clinic. If you have any queries yourself, write into inquiries@bfm.my. If you've missed any bits of this interview, don't forget to download a podcast from www.bfm.my. Salient points there by Chris Tan. It may only be worth your while to sublet, or more to the point, take in a lodger, someone who you actually know, as you won't only be responsible for his behaviour, but you also will be living with that person. So if you can't cover your rent and need to sublet, it may be worthwhile to downsize your rental instead in the long run. Now, if you are in the market to buy, though, here's something that you may want to consider. It's Cypress Residences in Denai Alam in Shah Alam, Selangor. Developed by Sime Darby Properties, it's 26 bungalows on freehold land where they're built up from 4,956 square feet. So, of course, all that real estate won't come cheap. Cypress is ready to move, is completed and ready to move in, and it's priced from $2.7 million onwards. That's it for this week on The Property Show. And the last one with me, Azura Rahman. It's been wonderful hosting this show for the past 5 years. But listen in next week with Keith Kam with some of the most pertinent issues in the real estate market every Friday at 9:30 a.m. after the news.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.